Starting your day at the races. Gareth Hall and RSN 927's Race Day.
Great to be with you on this Saturday morning, on this 10th of April. And, of course, it's the opening day of the championships at Royal Randwick. Four Group 1s. It's the Doncaster, the Australian Derby, the Inglis size for the two-year-olds, and, of course, the TJ Smith. What a day of racing. It's time to preview this wonderful card with our Sydney experts. David Gately is back. He just had some breakfast, a little bit of porridge, Gator.
Porridge?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that takes me back. No. Yes, it's a ripping card, isn't it? So let's get into it.
And she's a sensation, Lizzie Gell. She's part of our family now here at RSN 927. And she joins us now to help us preview this card at Randwick. Good morning to you, Lizzie.
Good morning, Gareth. Good morning, Gator. Yeah, it's an exciting first day of the championships. It definitely feels like autumn has come around the corner because it's a lot cooler today. Had a little bit of sprinkling of rain just a moment ago. So hopefully the clouds stay away and we have a great day of racing because there's certainly some exciting stories throughout.
How do you think this track will play, Lizzie?
Oh, it's a tough one. I think it's important to get that first race underway and see how it plays. I've spoken to a couple of the trainers earlier on and they said it's more like a 6 than it is a 7. But what we need to take into consideration is we are getting these sprinkling of showers and we also aren't getting the warmer temperatures which we have had over the last sort of few months. So I would suggest the track will probably stay in around, you know, the 6-7 range, which is at 7 at the moment.
All right then, Gator, let's have a look at this card and we'll also get Lizzie's opinion on certain horses with their profiles for the meeting at Randwick. And race one, of course, is the Kindergarten Stakes over the 1,100 metres. The two-year-olds do battle. You can scratch the 5, Best Side, the 6, Dark Rebel. Favourite here is Paulaley at $4.20. It's probably been the best back galloper here. Vanderdoolas at $4.80 for Team Hawks is also in the market. How have you assessed the opening race here, Gator?
Like a game of Scrabble there. Well, I think it's Vanderdoolas, but I like what you're bringing to the table. I think Ashima is... I was very tempted by the odds earlier in the week. I think about $9.50, $10 with Tab into $7.50 as I browse up. Below her best in the Millennium, but the rider was concerned with her action. Now, I'm going to forgive that one. 7 weeks off into the Kenzo win. The race rated really highly. She ran a similar time to an unbeaten horse in Lost and Running. In fact, identical time. And the last 600 over was way above average. Vanderdoolas, no trial, but an easy win on debut, then pipped late by Rocket Tiger, Vianello. So that form ties in. Yet to really smash the clock, but as referenced, it just doesn't tell the whole story. King of Sparta's trial was good, has the Rocket Tiger form. And Paul L, certainly short enough. You know, obviously the form through safe's easy to like. But I thought it was under the odds. 7, the value. I had 8-3-1 dangers.
All right, then. So 7, 8, 3, and 1. Your thoughts on the first race here, Lizzie?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Gator as far as Ashima is concerned. I thought that she did a great job last start on the Kensington track, and the tactics that they're going to ride are a little bit patiently and save for that 300-metre sprint is going to definitely be more beneficial than how they've been riding her in the past. She's also one to note from the paddock as well. She used to get very, very warm and full of herself and not parade well. I don't think I've had her on top once as a paddock horse, but last start was a much improved parade from her. And I think that if she parades nicely today, I wouldn't be scared of putting her on top. So hopefully great minds think alike.
All right, then. Let's have a look at race number 2, the Carbine Club. This is a Group 3 race for the 3-year-olds. Wheelhouse, the 2, is a scratching. The Irishman, that was really good first up, at $2.60 with the Tab. You've got High Supremacy, the 8, at $5.50. Kiku at $3.90. And Pole and the Victorian for Mike Moroney at $7.50 here, Gator. How have you assessed this race?
To quote Homer Simpson, the two best words in the English language, default. So we're left with the Irishman after the scratching of Wheelhouse. You get to run in the Donny and goes in the Quaddy in that race, I would have thought, in my humble. But we're left with the Irishman, and it's a pretty good leave. Grabbed late by Hungry Heart in a far lap. Looks great for him now. They beat the rest of them easily. Impecunious was one of them. Fourth was the Aletown, came out 1. Fifth was the key rival there in Poland, was coming off a Group 2 win in Victoria. So I think it's his race to lose. High Supremacy missed the kick. Hobart drilled a sound late sectionals, then found trouble at a key stage in the Canberra Guineas. Poland must have a case, but I don't know how he turns the tables on the Irishman unless there's that savage bias again that we saw last week. Marston A next, but 4 is the one to beat now, I think. 8-1-5 dangers.
Are you with the Irishman here, Lizzie?
Yeah, he's somewhere in the selections. I would just be highlighting a horse that's absolutely flying at the midweeks at the moment called Kiku. She's a three-year-old bay filly. She's by Zeus Star, and she's just come to, she's gone to another level this preparation. So I suspect that she can run really, really well. So I'd have Kiku in your numbers as well as the two that Gator mentioned, High Supremacy and the Irishman.
The Country Championship Final. I love this initiative from Racing New South Wales, Lizzie. I love the build-up, and it gives, of course, country trainers and country owners a chance to win a race with big prize money. But I think more importantly, it gives them an opportunity to head to Sydney for such a big race day and taste success on the biggest stage of all.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually attended the New Haven Park Country Championships cocktail party last night. Yes. And it was, I had to leave early, but I was disappointed.
You sound pretty fresh, Lizzie. Did you have fun?
A lot of fun, yeah. They certainly know how to let their hair down and enjoy themselves. So if that's a precursor of what we're going to see today, it's very, very exciting.
I would imagine, however, Gator, for a form analyst, this race is nearly impossible.
Well, yeah, it's a challenge, isn't it? But at least a lot of them are racing each other, so that gives us some hope and obviously a line to draw on. I go back to another one. This horse's win in December was just outstanding. The power of work and just raced away. Big finish, big win at Wagga last time. Since won a trial well. I just think he might end up the best horse. Whether or not that's today, well, let's find out. I mean, he went up $18, Tab, into $10 now. Tara Jasmine did a power of work last time. That's a forgive run. The solid Eagle Farm run prior to, you know, open grade's good enough here, I would have thought. And Arcadeau is more obvious. Yet to miss the Quinella. Just never lets you down. Spirinac next, but, not many you can say can't win. 4.16, 3.12 for me.
All right, then, Lizzie, I guess you'd be probably seeing a few of these horses for the first time.
Well, yeah, a few of them for the first time. A lot of them have had starts in Sydney prior to racing, you know, in the qualifiers. So I have seen a few of them. I guess the biggest factor for me, I always say about the yard, that this will definitely be a case of having a look at them and who's really peaking at the right time. From the form, I like Spirinac, I like Arcadeau. I thought they both are racing well. I don't mind Activation as well. He's drawn awkwardly, but he could hit the line really strongly. So it's just about who's peaking at the right time, and hopefully we find the winner, because, yeah, it is a difficult race.
And Arcadeau's the $2.90 favourite in the country final and has been well supported to win that feature race over the distance. We're over the 1,400 metres, worth $500,000. Race 4 is the Adrian Knox Stakes, Group 3 level for the three-year-old fillies. Favourite here, Gator, you got Flexible at $4. And it's probably been the best back galloper. There's been good money late too for Darling Diamond here, now into $6.50 with the tap.
Yeah, well, Darling Diamond led and beat All Bar One last time. Was well rated up in the lead and gets a 3 kilo drop. Now, the horse that beat her was Duas, who's actually a top pick. I thought it was wide run, was really costly at Hawkesbury. Then was 7 weeks off into Warwick Farm, went back, ran home 11.76 last 200, second quickest all day. Last 600 figures, very, very strong. Now, that horse, Darling Diamond, had just run well in the Kembla Grange Classic. Fourth was Dundee Lee, who then beaten hard at Croissant, who came out and won like Farlap. Flexible win inferior ground, Gosford, went to 1,800 Kenzo, rushed home against the older males and ran 7.5 lengths above average last 600. Terrific figures there. Celto Angel, Darling Diamond, certainly in the mix, but I thought 5 Duas was the one to beat. And again, those early prices were a bit juicy into, what are we now, $5.
Yeah, Duas is for Edward Cummings, and James Cummings trains Flexible, so the brothers doing battle here, Lizzie.
Yeah, and she ran a great race last start at Warwick Farm, so I'd have her into your selections as well. There's a couple of horses in this race. I think Flexible is clearly the horse to be on form, but there's a few horses that have been coming and that have been sort of progressing along nicely that might not be as fashionable and as well known as the more fancied runners. I thought Bargain has been working up to something, and I think she's back to her best after that last start at Newcastle. And I also thought a horse, Signore Nero, also has been racing quite well with a bit of consistency, and another one who could be working up to something as well. That's the type of race it is. It's obviously the time they're getting out to the 2,000 metres, and you're looking for horses that are getting to that really sort of fitness And there's a few of those horses I just mentioned, I think, are right knocking on the door to do something.
And Lizzie, of course, Colette won this race last year, went on to win the Oaks. From a yard point of view, what are you looking for maybe if we're back to horse to take out the Oaks this autumn in Sydney?
You're looking for horses that are going to that are at their peak now, but still have a margin of improvement in them. And that's usually what I found with Colette last year. I didn't actually like her when I initially saw her. She was quite light and lean and small and doesn't carry a great deal of condition at this point in her preparation. But then when I saw her in the Oaks, she's made improvement. So I think that's what you're looking for, just a marginal of improvement. It's only, say, the coat having a bit more shine to it than it did in its previous run. Those tiny little one percenters are what make them winning chances on the day.
The stays do battle in the Chairman's Quality Group 2 level over the 2,600 metres. Sacramento, you got to love him. He's tough, he's honest, and never really runs a bad race. He's at $4.40. Stablemate Hush Rider at $8.50. And then double figures for horses like Mirage Dancer at $10. Quick Thinker at $14. You've got Dad Do's That at $10. Collide at $11. Rondinella, she's at around $10. And Salino down the bottom here is under double figures at $6.50, Gator.
Two bets for me. They are Hush Rider, I think, at $8.50, Paths of Glory at double figure odds. Hush Rider went to the 2,500 of the Mannion Cup. He led, but he was attacked 1,200 metres out and he forced to go way much, you know, far earlier than what they'd ideally like. He was only collared late for third. The horse that collared him late was Sacramento, who had a much softer run, and he's much deeper into the prep. So I think Hush Rider can beat him home and he's twice the price. Paths of Glory, that was about as good an eighth as you'll see in the Selwood, given the savage leader bias. The leader's crawled as well. This guy actually ran the quickest last run out of any horse all day. It was a sneaky gem. Sacramento is a ripper. Collide got a good strike rate. 5 and 12 the bets, though.
And Dino was keen on Pass of Glory just before as he's better bet at Randwick this afternoon. Lizzie, what are you thinking here?
Oh, I'm going to throw in another one to the mix as okay. Well. Rondinella, I thought she hit the line really nicely. She hasn't won for a long time, but she looks to me as though she's just going really well. Her coat's really glossy. She's starting to get towards her peak fitness. She's just needed to draw well, and she's drawn well today, and I think today is the time that she can break that long run about. It has been a long time since she's won, but she has been racing consistently.
Race number 6, first of the group ones, the English Sire over the 1,400 metres. Animo's the odds-on favourite at $1.95. Captivant at $12. Lightsaber. Peter Moody said since he started training once again, this is his best chance of winning a group one. So Lightsaber's at $8. Halal's at $11. Four moves ahead, the filly for Johnny Sargent and Tim Clark at $4.80. And Queen of Wizardry at $26, Lizzie, you dreamt last night after that party that you'd be winning the English Sires. Can your filly get the job done with Jamie Carr aboard?
Oh, I think that she's probably up against it with a few of these sharper types. She's on her way to the Champagne. That's the main target with her. So I'd be really happy if she could run into, you know, the top four or five. But I think there's some sharper types, and it'd be interesting to see how she goes. But at this stage, I think there's probably some sharper types who are more worthy of winning this race at this stage.
Wayne Hawkes predicted when we had a chat to him on Tuesday morning at Warwick Farm that you'd be picking Hylal as the best in the yard after what John Hawkes told him anyway on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I actually had him as my long-range slipper tip. I thought that he'd be very competitive in the slipper, but obviously he didn't get in. He got beaten by O-President a couple of weeks before the slipper. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I haven't seen him for quite some time. He's got to go into the selection somewhere. But I think at this stage, there's horses like Four Moves Ahead and Animo who have done absolutely nothing wrong. They've got the runs on the board, and they're the ones who have got their proven form at the moment. And a horse like Halal will be the fresh legs on the scene. So looking forward to also seeing Lightsaber as well. I'm sure Gage can tell you a bit more about him.
Hey, just with Animo, Lizzie, geez, he's been a resilient two-year-old. He's been in nearly every big contest this season. What's he like as a horse to look at in the yard? And does it seem to you, to your ride, that he really enjoys the racing?
Well, I actually put a line through him in the slipper because he was so full of himself and fresh, and I saw them down the back and he was having a real go, bucking and carrying on. And then once he got into the yard, he was really on the bridle, he was sweating up, he was pretty full of himself. walking around the yard, and I thought, geez, when I've seen you previously, I have never seen you parade like that. I've only ever seen him once prior to the slipper. And I thought to myself, this is probably not a good sign. Maybe he's over the top. So what I'm expecting for him today is to be a lot more settled, because that's how he's stepping up to the 1,400 metres is how he needs to conserve some energy, and he needs to be settled and relaxed when he's walking around. So he's a horse that looks more like a three-year-old than a two-year-old, very strong, very physically powerful looking, and he's got a bit of a sort of I'm pretty good attitude about him. So looking forward to seeing him, but he exceeded my expectations in the slipper.
All right then, Gator, I'll ask you about Lightsaber here for Peter Moody.
Yeah, obviously there's some merit on the clock. Winning the sires in Melbourne, beat a horse called Safe, who went to Rosehill and won last week, albeit was on the Travelator, you know, that inside lane. Oh, what a fun day that was. But look, Animo just picks himself, doesn't he? I mean, if they all turn up and run to their best, he just wins. But, you know, is he at the tail end of a prep, you know, 1,400, all those sort of questions. I mean, if it was that simple, we'd all be millionaires, and poor old Tab would be... you know, just a shed out the back. So he's the one to beat. He sailed straight by, four moves ahead, and Captivant last time. Halil's a really promising horse. Ran by Captivant himself in the Skyline. And then that horse, of course, ran well in that fast, very fast Golden Slipper. But Animo, I think, picks himself clearly the one to beat. We'll make him the best for the day, mate.
All right then, Animo, around $1.95. Let's have a look at the second of the group ones. It's the Australian Derby, terrific race, scratchings are clear. You got Montefilia, the filly, she's the favourite at $3.80. Paul Perry's three-year-old Skylab at $4.80. Rocket Spade at $10. John O'Shea, just a little concern about the wet track with Lions Roar, he's at $8.50. You got Young Verta at $13, Quay Quay at $9.50 for Matty Kamani. Explosive Jack, David Eustace gave this three-year-old a good push at $18. Dean Lester was tipping him as well at that each-way price. What are you thinking here, Gator, in the Australian Derby?
Well, the Tullock Stakes in recent history is the right form, but I don't think so this year. I think Skylab's effort in the Rosehill Guineas making a long run. Montefilia had his back. Now, she couldn't run by him, but she was 1,400 to 2,000. They were both a month between runs. Who has the most upside into this? This is why you pay Lizzie the big bucks to come on this, because this is going to be the answer to the question, I think. I think one of the two win. I had trouble splitting them. I can back them both, which is the easy way out. I think Montefilia probably settles up a bit closer this time. He might have a head start on Skylab, but I've lent to Skylab. I just love the way he sustained his run. I mean, he was under the whip. He was hit with the whip about 500 from home. He just kept running. So I'm hoping he can beat Montefilia because he's a better price. But I'm going to back them both, 3 and 16.
All right, then. Who do you like in the Derby, Lizzie?
I like Montefilia and Skylab. I will sort of reserve my judgment until I get to the rate, you know, until I get to see them in the flesh. But Skylab couldn't look any better. Montefilia definitely has more upside coming into this race third up, so she's got a bit of fitness still to come, and I'm expecting she'll have that today. But Skylab, all they have to do is hold him together and he's going to be very hard to beat. But if Montefilia has taken a lot of improvement into this third up run, then she's going to be the one that's going to be challenging him. Out of the Tullock Stakes, if I was to give you one that I believe will parade better and look better, that's Young Werther. I thought that he paraded just a little bit on the fresh side, and I still thought that he found the line well on a track that didn't suit horses that were coming from back off the speed.
With Montefilia, Lizzie, do you think she'll stay?
I do, yes. They're going to ride her a little bit closer, and hopefully that gives her the opportunity to settle as well. I think just in the Victorian Oaks last year, I think the problem was that she got too far back and had to make a long sustained run. And I also believe that she's a better autumn three-year-old filly than she was a spring three-year-old filly. She's definitely furnished. She's a lot stronger this time around. And you've got to remember, she was only really on her sort of second preparation last time. So this time she's a lot more conditioned and she's a lot more seasoned. And you can see that in her looks and the way she presents.
All right, then. A few SMSs coming through. I might have missed the scratchings, races 3 and 4. The emergency's out of race number 3. And Brooks by the 9. And at the 17, Sassy Sav out of race number four, the Adrian Knox Stakes. So that's a look at the Australian Derby. Let's have a look at the TJ Smith. Weight for age, Group 1 race over the 1,200 metres. Hornbury on her, unfortunately, she is scratched in September run. The other filly for Chris Waller is also out. We've got Bivouac at 370, Nature Strip at 340, Eduardo at $4.40, Mask Crusader at $6.50. Those are the horses under double figures. And then the Mare Libertini at $10, Gator. What a race this promises to be.
Point cracker, isn't it? Obviously, you've got three horses that have a seat at the table as the world's best sprinter. They are Bivouac, they are Nature Strip and Eduardo. Then you've got the up-and-comer, Mask Crusader, who I don't think he's reached his best yet. I think he's still learning his craft. He's got a booming last 100 metres on him. He's shown that all through this prep. He crossed the line with Bivouac, of course, in Sydney, and then went on down to the Valley and brilliantly won the William Reid. In saying that, Bivouac, I think, was the better run. He was reared at the start. He made a move mid-race, wide on the track. He still loomed to win it. I don't know how he managed that. I thought the run was enormous. I think from gate two today, he just gets the perfect trail. If he can settle better, jump cleanly, put himself, you know, off the speed, settle, hit the line, I think you'll see the real Bivouac. And that's the one you saw third up last time in thrashing Nature Strip in the VRC Classic. Nature Strip hit by Eduardo in sizzling time. Eduardo then goes to a Galaxy, carries top weight and absolutely laps them again in super fast time. He is absolutely airborne. I just think it's 1,200 metres. It might be advantage Nature Strip, but I could be wrong. And Mask Crusader is not, he's certainly not out of the quaddie for me. He's not going to tip me out. So Bivouac's on top for me, but I think it's the race of the day.
All right, then. So Bivouac for James Cummings, Huey Bowman, 370. I'm looking forward to hearing your insights regarding these star sprinters for the TJ Smith, Lizzie. Which one are you leaning towards?
Oh, I'm sticking with Eduardo. I just think that he's so tough. He's in the zone. You know what you're going to get. You get 120% from him every single time. And every time he fronts up to the races, you get a better price about him. So I'm sticking with him. He's looked $1 million. He's not glamorous. He won't win a beauty contest. But what Joe Pride has seemingly done with him is he just produces him really fit. Got a great coach on him. His attitude is excellent, and he's just in the zone. So I don't see why he wouldn't go with Eduardo. But it is, I agree with Gator, it is the race of the day. There are three top-class sprinters. We know how in-and-out sprinters can be, but I think that the consistency has to go with Eduardo after that romping victory in the Galaxy and beating Nature Strip last time around. So I'm happy to stick with him.
All right, then. So Lizzie at the moment with Eduardo, but you can change your mind, can't you, Lizzie? Because you have to look at these horses in the yard, and Gator is with Bivouac, of course, and the TJ Smith. The Doncaster Mile, the great mile in Australian racing, is race number 9 over the 1,600 metres, of course. Gem Songs are scratching the 7. It's too wet for the 15. I Am Superman as well. Market tells us that Mugatu will start favourite at $4.40. Avilius at $11 at the moment. You've got Aegon, the New Zealand three-year-old, at $12. Cascadian at $11. Think It Over at $12. Funstar at $19. Rocks at $23. And Mahunga is at $9 here, Gator, for the Doncaster.
Yeah, always a phenomenal race. I think the filly Forbidden Love can measure up. A brilliant and fast surround stakes win. Just ridden a bit cold off that hot speed. She was 6 weeks between runs into that. Interestingly, on times and measures that day, she certainly lines up pretty easily with a couple of these that are at the top of the market. And she drops to 49 and up. She carried 56 that day to run that time. So I think she can run well. She looked about ready to explode in the Coolmore. She ran out of luck there. Rock, I'd like it a bit drier, but he's run well on soft. Seven, soft six would be better, soft five would be even better. But he was terrific first up, quickest last 600 of the day, then made ground against that nasty bias last week. He spotted him 17 lengths in the Epsom at one stage. He was beaten 2.3 by Probabil. In that race, the first five time all sat handy to the speed. Cascadian is Cascadian, so that's a problem, but he is airborne. Quickest last 100 of the day last time. He was quicker than Avilius home. And Mugatu, look, he's not poorly weighted as a 114 grader coming off an All-Star Mile win. I just wonder if he's got one more mile run in him. And that's the only little query I've got. So I just shuffled him down to fourth, but he's in the quaddie. But I'm with the filly 20, Forbidden Love.
Love a handicap over a mile at Group 1 level, Lizzie. Mugger 2, first of all. 1,600 metres once again for this galloper. Your thoughts there?
I'm not too concerned about it. I think that he's... I think the mile, obviously the mile 2,000 are right up his alley. And I believe that having that extra week has definitely helped him as well. I've spoken to Connections and I also spoke to Chris Lees, and he said that that week has just enabled him to extra week just to freshen him up and keep the freshness in his legs. So I don't think it's too much of a concern. He's a winning chance. Avilius has never looked any better. If the track is sort of on the worst side of a seven, then he's going to be really helped by the track conditions, and here find the line strongly like he always does. Just on rock, he has definitely got improvement. I saw him parading last start, thought that he had still had improvement. I was keen to have him in my selections, but just thought he still had a bit of improvement in his coat and also improvement in his fitness, which rings very true with how Hawks is, have their horses towards the campaign, third up in their grand final, blinkers on. He's going to be right in the finish. Cascadian is also an improver. He's definitely got that fitness improvement coming into today. And a horse that has been trialing really well that I've seen quite a bit of is Zaki. He's at big odds, but he's got some terrific form in Europe, and he's not completely out of it, or pop him into your quaddy would probably be the safest move.
All right then, right now, which way are you leaning, Lizzie, in the Doncaster?
Well, on form, I think Mugger 2 is going to be hard to beat, but again, it will be all about having a look at them in the yard.
All right, then the last race is the PJ Bell Stakes for the three-year-old filly. Scratchings here in the final race. You can put a line through the 9, Sweet Reply. The 16, 18 and 19 are also out. The favourite here for Chris Lees, Jason Collett, Gator is Never Talk at 390.
Yeah, it's a competitive finish, isn't it, I thought. Marbusha was a terrific winner first up, and then ran a sound race in the Derby Monroe. I certainly had a chance, but gee, hot race, Wild Roller, Isotope. Now, they're the elites. I think we're back a notch here. I think it's backable, certainly not solo in the quaddy, but Marbusha, the three on top. Never Talk, freshened, has form through Odium, easy to like for the Derby Monroe. And Every Rose, I think they ride her up front. I think that's the key. Makura in the quaddy as well, but I'm going to three-mile bush at home, and yeah, she's backable.
All right then, Lizzie, which three-year-old filly do you like here?
A couple of three-year-old fillies, Makura, Every Rose, and I'd throw in All Hallows Eve as well. I thought that she has been racing really consistently. So it's a difficult way to finish the day, but Every Rose, if she decides to jump from that wide gate and control the race, she's very hard to get past in a race like this.
All right, Lizzie, looking forward to your insight on Sky Thoroughbred Central this afternoon. Enjoy the opening day of the championships.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day and good luck with your punting.
There's Lizzie Jelf there from Sky Racing. And Gator, you'll be on Sky Racing 1. Do you have a best bet? And can I get a quaddy off you, or is that asking just a little bit too much?
Oh, no, you can do that.
All right, thank you.
Phone, so that was that Yelp. Animo's my best. Quaddy's pretty wide. Look, obviously, races 7, 8, 9, 10, so the Derby's the first league. Skylab Montefilia, so just 3 and 16, so they're thin there.
Yep.
Then Bivouac Nature Strip, Mask Crusader Eduardo, so 1, 2, 3, 5. Doncaster, here we go, number 20. 16, 10, 1, 13, 18, 19, 22 and 21. So a lot of numbers there. Coming home with just 3, 6 Never Talk, 1 and 2, 3, 6, 1, 2, 100.
You're a star, Gator. As always, we appreciate your time and good luck today on the tip and also on the punt. Hopefully one of your parlay 2 and 3s can salute.
Give us strength. Thanks, mate.
There's David Gately and Lizzie Jelfs joining us there.